The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 Truck Stop at Exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 Kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and, of course, the Super Truck Showroom stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley as we move into a Wednesday. Gary, good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Can't complain. Lots. Well, I can complain. In fact, I'll spend the next 5 hours complaining.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. There will be. I come from a long line of complainers.
Exactly.
And we'll be doing a lot of that this morning as we cover anti-McCarthyism and everything else.
Hey, before we get to anything else, I've got one audio cut to play.
All right.
Just because this was day one of Karine Jean-Pierre. So is she going to stay? Remember, there was talk that she would be going come this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't see it. And the question was asked day one. Are you ready? Here's the question.
Here we go.
Here we go. All right.
And another topic with the new Republican majority coming in. The House Oversight Committee is laying out their new investigations. And they claim to have evidence that Joe Biden lied to the American people about his involvement in his family's business schemes. Did he?
So look, I said this before and I'll say it again. House Republicans promised that fighting inflation during the...
There you go. All right. Yeah. She goes on for the next minute and a half talking about what the Republicans said they were going to do. And again, the American people aren't going to accept that. They're going to, because the question is, that's the one, this is the one problem that they have. Americans don't like it when, you don't legally pay your taxes, when you evade taxes, not when you do your taxes legally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have Democrats that may be upset about that because Democrats are like, well, no. If you're the opposition, you should voluntarily pay taxes and not take all the deductions. But if you're a Democrat, you should take all your deductions. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you evade taxes illegally. Americans have no sympathy for you whatsoever on that. And the other thing that they don't like is influence peddling.
Yeah.
And they can't. So she can't even address it. And the greatest thing is... The I wish everybody could see the video of it, because it's like she started out the new year and it's like she's going through the pages even faster now. As the question's being asked, she has no answer for it. It's become a tick now. She's not even looking for it. It's like, here's the question. Let me just go through. What am I looking at? I bet you the pages, the book of answers may be blank because she wasn't going to answer the question. She had no intention of asking the question or answering the question. And so the question's being asked, and she hears, and she's just going through the pages.
Yeah. It's, first of all, still early in the year. Maybe she will be leaving. I don't know what would be worse. I don't know. First of all, I don't know if anybody could be worse at their job than she is, especially that job. But then again, I guess we'll wait and see who the next person is. It's cluelessness. And they're obviously going to dodge all these questions about this topic. They're just not going to answer any of these questions about this topic. But if the Republicans can find a speaker and they can get their committees together, maybe they can start asking questions, and that's where hopefully the truth will come out. These are, you know, the things that you look forward to over the next 2 years. The clock is ticking, and the first day has been wasted. At least they haven't found a speaker. But they obviously want to get to that as soon as possible, and that's the only time you're going to hear any questions answered. You know,
it seems like some don't want to get to that point. Coming up on the show today, Twitter exaggerated Russian influence to appease the media and Democrats. That came out yesterday. Musk says the U.S. government demanded Twitter suspend 250,000 accounts. Ooh, remember when, the U.S. government's not involved in it. Remember, this was only the DNC and the Biden campaign.
Yeah.
And then blah, 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 blah. No. Mm-hmm. The government. Adam Schiff demanded accounts be deleted.
Mm-hmm.
Also coming up, 1.2 million illegal immigrant criminals. That's illegal immigrant criminals. 1.2 million remain in the United States, even though they have deportation orders, because the Democrats want that.
Mm-hmm. By design.
By design. That is what sanctuary cities and sanctuary states do. They protect the illegal. We're not talking now illegal immigrants. We're not talking about, and this is where their whole argument falls apart. Well, this is just about legit, visas, because what do they call it when you, I got mind blank here. When you want to come in because you're being oppressed from another country. I can't think of what that term is called. And you can't either at the moment.
Yeah,
we just said it. My mind wouldn't play. Not sanctuary, but I mean, you're looking for sanctuary, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
This is illegal immigrants that have committed criminal acts.
Right.
That deportation orders are against them.
Right.
And the Democrats want them to stay in the United States. Right. I'd like any Democrat to tell us why they are in favor of that policy, because that's exactly what sanctuary cities do. That's what sanctuary cities are set up to do, not cooperate with the federal government, with illegal immigrant criminals. The Democratic Party of the United States, that many of you still vote for, because Democrats listen to the show, just so people know, okay, that you vote for, believe that the freedom of illegal immigrant criminals in the United States, and we don't mean they're criminals because they're illegal immigrants. We're talking about because they have committed crimes in the United States outside of being illegally in this country. The Democrats want them. Their policy is for them to stay in the United States. Democrats, can you answer why you support something like that?
You were thinking of asylum.
Those asylum. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, thank
the president there. Pointing that out in before he was president, saying that anybody seeking asylum, basically what they were doing is sending the message that all you have to do is claim you're seeking asylum.
Right, and then you're in the country.
And you're in.
Right. And then the next thing is once you're in, okay, let's find a way to legitimize you being here in the country. Or the fact is, once you get in here, you can stay, and will we ever find you?
Right. Will we ever look for you?
Manufacturing contracts really bad in November. We'll get to that. This is really interesting. The sanctuary state of Colorado begins busing migrants to New York.
Yeah.
You want a liberal circular firing squad? Well, we want to protect all illegal immigrants, and we want to protect illegal immigrant criminals until they actually come to our state. And then we want them out. Let's send them to another sanctuary state, another sanctuary city, because we only claim we want. Is that it, Democrats? Is that what's going on? Is this just a big fake? That this is just virtue signaling?
Here's the question. Did you expect that the numbers would be so great? Because eventually you were going to get to the point that blue cities were going to be overrun.
Yep.
And we're at that point now.
The judge issues a gag order in the Idaho murder case. Damar Hamlin is showing signs of improvement. That's really good yesterday. And it seems like, you know, the consensus of most doctors, even though the hospital has, because that came from his uncle, the hospital has not yet given a complete medical update on it. And they believe it's a case where, and these cases are extremely rare, by the way, where if your heart is on a particular beat, particular cycle of the beat, and you get hit, and it can be a millisecond. It's just a millisecond of the actual, ebb and flow of the heart.
Mm-hmm, the rhythm.
The rhythm of the heart. And if it hits it, boom, your heart will stop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what I saw most of the doctor. Well, every doctor, in fact, mm-hmm. that I saw yesterday on any network, mm-hmm. that's what they suspect it was. So that coming up. And then, you know, I don't know what to say. You know, we talked about it last year. We talked about it a little bit, yesterday, the whole speaker thing and how ridiculous it is. And, you know, whether I was reading the Wall Street Journal, National Review, a ton of different conservative publications out there, they're saying, what are you fighting over? You've got Republicans voting for Jim Jordan. He doesn't want to be Speaker of the House. Jim Jordan. You've got how many voted for him? I don't know out of the 19, I forgot how many it was. It was a majority voted mm-hmm. for Jim Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want it.
Right.
Scalise doesn't want it.
Right.
There is nobody else that can get 10 votes.
Well, I mean,
What are you fighting over?
Well, and what do you think that you're going to accomplish through this?
You know, we had the Breitbart story saying that Boebert and Gates told McCarthy, we don't care if Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat, the ultimate in anti-democracy election denier, we don't care if the Democrat becomes Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is what that story came mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. You had Marjorie Taylor Greene come out and say, you've got Republicans who are just caring about themselves. They want committee positions.
Mm-hmm.
They want a gavel position.
Mm-hmm.
That this is about themselves. It's not about the party as a whole. But can you imagine, you know, that the story that came out with circulate that in your district of Republicans that voted for you.
Yeah, go for it.
That you say, I'd rather have Jeffries be. Yeah, you do that. You know, we had stated yesterday the job of this Congress is simply to pound on those five or six different things where you know you're not going to win them because you don't have the Senate. But you pound on it because the whole thing is to set up that we are the people that you wish to vote for in 2024.
Mm.
You don't have a lot of substance that you can accomplish here. So everything is, this is the substance that comes with the competence and the clear thinking Republican Party that we have here for 2024. Yeah. And it's a complete disaster.
Yeah, it is. This is insane. We talked about it yesterday. They knew this even before the midterm. They knew there wasn't a consensus on McCarthy. But that's when you start working hard on it. And then after you win the midterm, especially when you know that the margin is slim, you have to work harder. You're looking to block the president. You're looking to get committees done so that you can bring to light a number of things, including the whole Hunter Biden thing. And you're looking to promote your party for 2024 so that you can get the Senate and the White House.
Yep.
Get it together.
And so, you know, we've talked about the four, five, six different things they should be pounding on. These are the things that we will do as Republicans. And what you want in a political party, what is absolutely necessary, is you have the Democrats that have won over the last probably 10 years on imagery alone. The substance of where they stand on the issues the American public disagrees with. They like the imagery of the Democrats. They don't like the substance. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of it.
Yep.
You know, you and I talked about this before when Trump was president, and then over the last couple of years where, you know, you would see it. People say, well, and you didn't vote for him because of his mean tweets.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, if you know the American public stands with you on the issues and all that stands, if your point is all that stands between you being president or not are mean tweets, then don't do the mean tweets.
Right.
Don't do the mean tweets.
Well, this is what you have to do to win. And then I guess if you want to go back to mean tweets in your second and final term, you can go back to that. But you've got to win first.
Well, it's not my argument. It's the argument made by Trump supporters that said, don't you wish he was president now, but you didn't like his mean tweets. Mm-hmm. Well, then don't do the mean tweets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If the public first thing of politics, if the public loves the substance of what you stand for, well, then make sure they love your imagery, too.
Promote the wins.
Right.
You've already had.
And that's, and you know, here you just see a complete, and as we said, that just wasn't a Trump problem. It's been a problem with the Republicans for a consistent, you know, for a number of years here, consistently, where they just can't communicate effectively. They can't even communicate effectively with themselves.
No, they can't.
Right now.
No, they can't.
Now, could this be solved in the next couple of days and it be gone? Yeah. And that's what you hope to get. Could it turn into a mess? Could turn into a big mess. And over what?
Well, nobody has stood up and said, man, after the first of the year, we're going to hit the ground stumbling. You hit the ground running.
Yep.
United.
Look, you've got the Democrats united behind the one of the biggest election deniers that exists out there. One of the biggest anti-democracy people that exist. They are unanimous behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the insanity of the Democrats, who they say, as long as we remain united... Yeah. We've got all these wins on imagery alone. We can lie consistently to the American public about what we want. The border is one thing. Oh, no, the border's secure. Oh, it's fine. The border's secure.
Right.
The border's secure. Mm-hmm. The border's across the board. The border's secure. Oh, there's no problem. There's no problem. Unless you're a Democrat in a border city, it's an outright lie. And they go, we can lie. And we just sit there and we talk about those mean Republicans, and we talk about how great and united we are, and these idiots will vote for us. That's the reality of politics, and you have to deal with the reality of politics.
Yep. And if you don't, then you can expect this chaos. This is how it's going to go.
But it's like that, as we said yesterday, you know, as well, two things. The one thing we said is, you know, that it's easy for the Republicans, just pound on those four or five issues. I saw I think it was Shapiro. I think Ben Shapiro said it yesterday. The only job of this Speaker of the House is to say no to Biden. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by promoting what we had said, you know, those four or five or six different things and pounding that, it's number one to say no, but it's number two to pound on those issues where, you know, the American public agrees with you, and say no to Biden and the Democrats on what, you know, the American public disagrees with.
Right. I mean, look, they would have to be a big part of the campaigning for 2024, and apparently they can't get it together to do that.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Starting and charging system-related issues are one of the most common causes of winter breakdowns. So when your batteries talk, it's important you listen. Knowing the warning signs that could indicate your electrical system needs attention can help you avoid getting stuck out in the cold this winter. Have your batteries inspected by a professional technician if you smell any unusual or strong odors coming from the battery box. A pungent odor could indicate chemicals are escaping from a damaged or overcharged battery.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harding, and I'm Gary McNamara, 86690 Red Eye. Interesting that, you know, the Twitter file's coming out, and, you know, just to, and we'll get into the specifics of it, what Musk and now the Twitter files are now saying about, you know, this was the government attempting to censor Twitter. And then, you know, Adam Schiff, did you see where Musk tweeted out? What's up with this, Adam Schiff?
Yeah.
You know, about you. You know, targeting people for Twitter to censor. What's up with this? No answer at all.
Word had gotten out before our Christmas break that was, you know, going to be revealed.
Yep.
And now we're learning a lot more about that.
Individuals and business.
Giving you 70% each night, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 86690 Red Eye. So, ton of different stories out there. I've got three different media sources here, but this first one, Twitter deliberately exaggerated the content of Russian influence on its platform in an attempt to appease the media and Democrats, even after internal investigations into the matter proved a dud. Now, we knew this already. I mean, this had come out in a different form weeks ago. But even after internal investigations into the matter proved a dud, according to Matt Taibbi, who released another batch of Twitter files today, Twitter initially tried to stay out of the spotlight on the Russian issue in 2017. Hoping Facebook would remain the main target of scrutiny from the media and the Democrats, Twitter's PR department even agreed on the media's strategy to keep the focus on Facebook. But then, as Taibbi was, you know, stated yesterday, that all changed, and the company exaggerated Russian influence. Because remember, everything was Russia, Russia, Russia.
Right.
But remember too, because, you know, we had talked about it. Even with the hype of what they were throwing out, it was still a nothing burger because it was the $100,000 in Facebook ads.
Is
what it was. And we know that the Democrats created the lie that Trump colluded with the Russians, you know, to hack or change the outcome of the election. That was a lie created by the Hillary campaign.
Right.
And financed by the Hillary campaign. And so we know that now. Also, this from Fox Business. That first story was from Breitbart. This one from Fox Business. A new release of internal Twitter correspondence details the relationship between Twitter and the government agencies, including how the U.S. government demanded that the social media giant suspend nearly 250,000 accounts. The U.S. government agency demanded suspension of 250,000 accounts, including journalists and Canadian officials. Elon Musk replied to journalist Matt Taibbi's Twitter thread on Tuesday morning. Taibbi revealed that the U.S. government's mounting an endless pressure on Twitter to work hand-in-hand with Congress to hunt for Russian meddling on the platform. Twitter's subsequent task force to hunt Russian influence on the platform showed no coordinated effort, and mostly lone wolf accounts with low ad spending. Despite the findings, the social media platform began its partnership and censorship with Congress to fight against supposed Russian misinformation. Under the U.S. government pressure, Twitter went on to suspend nearly 250,000 accounts, including accounts tied to journalists, some questioning the pandemic's origins, and accounts that follow two or more Chinese diplomatic accounts. So if you followed two or more Chinese diplomatic accounts, you were suspended. You didn't have to do anything wrong.
You just followed them.
You just followed them.
Right.
And as you know, there's a variety of reasons to, you know, for example, if you're in the media, you want to know what's going. Okay, what's Russian media putting out?
Mm.
Well, what are Russian diplomats putting out? What are Chinese diplomats? What are they saying on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
In the first Twitter files of 2023, Taibbi exposed how the intelligence community gained influence over the social media platform, which began in Facebook's suspension of 300 accounts with suspected Russian origins in August of 2017. So, well, and more will be coming out. And there it is. Representative Schiff's office requested tech giant Twitter to suspend accounts. It was revealed, this from Fox, that the latest Twitter files, that the office of Adam Schiff made requests for Twitter to suspend certain accounts. Remember, as we've stated many times before, because we called him on this early on years ago. Think about this, Eric. It was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
We're six. Wow. 6 years ago, yeah. Right now, where you and I were still, we had just got back.
From vacation. Everything was just full bore.
Yeah.
On the Russians. The narrative had changed slightly over the Christmas break. But everything was full bore by the time we got back.
Yeah, and we were like, where's this coming from?
Yeah.
And it was all coming from the dossier, which we know was a lie created by the DNC and the Hillary campaign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was all a lie. It was all made up.
Right.
And that's where, you know, that's where it all came from. And we had stated when Adam Schiff, who was at that time the head of the minority leader of the intelligence committee, the House Intelligence Committee, you know, when he had come out and said he saw that it was more than circumstantial evidence that Trump colluded with the Russians.
Right.
And he had the evidence existed in, you know, the intelligence briefings. He was lying.
Yeah.
He lied the entire time. And until yesterday, he was the head of the House Intelligence Committee, not the minority leader of the House Intelligence Committee. He was the head for the last few years of the House Intelligence Committee, and he lied to the American public. And that's why the whole thing about, you know, Santos, look, we don't believe Republicans need to lie about anything. Democrats need to lie about everything because the American public doesn't back them on where they stand on the issues. Schiff felt he had to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats feel they have to lie because they can't win on the substance of their ideas and they can't win on the truth.
Right.
That's why they lied for such a long time on Russia collusion.
Well, and Trump, you know, saying that, and Adam Schiff saying that he had proof. And then finally, he just lobbed out this little nothing of the Veselnitskaya meeting.
On The View, remember that?
Yeah,
that
was on The View.
On The View, he did that, yeah.
It's like, really?
It's like, well, I can tell you what it is. I'll never forget. Finally. Because how many, I can't remember the time span. I can't just remember the time span on it when he had come out and put out what he had seen,
mm-hmm.
you know, or he made the allegations.
Yeah, he made the claim.
That the intelligence, that what he saw in the intelligence showed more than circumstantial evidence that Trump colluded with the Russians.
Yeah.
And then the Republicans came out, remember, with their paper mm-hmm. and said, absolutely not. It doesn't exist there.
Right.
He's not telling you the truth.
Right.
And so that was when the real big, and so he kept backing that. He would be interview after interview saying, no, Trump colluded with the Russians. We have the evidence. We have the evidence. We have more than circumstantial evidence. We have more, which he was implying that they have the direct evidence and connected the dots that Trump colluded with the Russians to hack or change the outcome of the election.
Right.
So he gets on The View and they finally ask him what it is, and he said it was the meeting at Trump Tower that Trump wasn't even at.
Right.
That they walked
that everybody already knew the details of.
Right, exactly.
That Donald Trump Jr., remember when all that fell out, he said, okay, here's the email exchanges.
Yeah.
You know, to disarm whatever was going to come out in the media. He said, whoa, here you have it. Here's the thread. And it was nothing. By the time Adam Schiff was sitting on The View, it was a big nothing.
Schiff's office also requested that Twitter stop the spread of future misinformation on Twitter regarding committee staff.
Mm.
What committee?
Mm. Yeah.
Are we talking about here? The example he shared was one sent in November of 2020 by Schiff's office, who contacted Twitter hoping that the tech giant would take action regarding alleged harassment from QAnon conspiracists against Schiff's staff, including aides Susan Misko. Remove any and all content of Mr. Misko and other committee staff from its service, including quotes, retweets, or reactions in that content, the request to Twitter read. Suspend the many accounts. And then he goes through, you know, Paul Sperry, who writes for Real Clear Politics.
Right.
Which have repeatedly promoted the false QAnon conspiracies. Schiff's office also requested Twitter stop the spread of future misinformation on Twitter regarding committee staff and label and reduce the visibility of any content.
Hmm.
Even Twitter declined to honor Schiff's request at that time, Taibbi noted, noting Twitter's response to Schiff's office, repeatedly saying, we don't do this. As Taibbi noted, though, Sperry was later suspended. Schiff's office did not immediately respond to Fox News' request for comment, and also, when I can see, has did not respond to Elon Musk's.
Right, yeah.
Asking for a, so you know Musk. Schiff's not, I'd be very surprised if Schiff did it because he knows Musk is attempting to set him up.
Oh, yeah, you pull him out and have him make a statement.
Yeah.
One way or the other. And he's likely not going to do that. He's certainly not going to do it based on the fact that he doesn't have that power that he had just days ago.
Yep.
And this, you know, look. This is not just, as we said, the like-minded individuals acting as activists across the board, not just on Capitol Hill, but in social media, and the people who run social media companies. This is now major players in the United States government looking to control social media repeatedly.
Yeah, you notice that whole, there's not a First Amendment issue here. Well, it stopped weeks ago from the Democrats and the media. You don't hear any of that anymore.
Here's my question. If you ran a company and the FBI starts communicating with you on a regular basis, are you going to tell me that's not intimidating in any way, that it's not going to influence you? Of course it will. It's going to run your business, and you're going to cooperate eventually. They weren't comfortable at first. And you could turn down even someone like an Adam Schiff. But the FBI is law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different type of intimidation.
Yep.
So you've got it coming from all sides. And I'm not saying Twitter's innocent, by the way. There are plenty of people that were at Twitter that didn't have a problem with any of this.
A lot were... ex-FBI.
Yeah.
Exactly. Intelligence officials.
We believe they were ex-FBI. The question is, you know, what was that millions of dollars? What was that paid for? Why did they just change the FBI offices and move some over to Twitter? All the onboarding going on from ex-bureau individuals at Twitter, that was really weird. Why is that? Man, I've got a ton of questions. And if we can find a Speaker of the House and get some committees together, maybe somebody else can too.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
If you like listening to Red Eye on Demand, we have more of Eric Harley and guests for you. Download RER.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So what we're actually doing here, we're just basically informing the Republicans and then the eventual speaker and then the eventual committee heads a lot of the things that they should be targeting once they get a speaker elected, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah,
okay?
It's
just so there's a purpose to the show.
Right, right. We think by mid-March or so, when they finally find a speaker, I thought it was clear. I thought it was pretty clear what the agenda was, what the job is. Everybody else seems to know. And, you know, if you're vying for a committee position this hard, do you really believe that this kind of positioning is going to get you to where you need to be in the party long term? I'm not the biggest fan of Kevin McCarthy, but we need to look at this entire thing for what it is and what it is not. They don't have the Senate. They don't have the White House. This is going to be about committees, blocking the president, and campaigning for 2024. Because it will be the only group inside the Beltway in power on the GOP side. There's a lot of campaigning to do. This didn't start well.
Top of the Hour News is brought to you by Howe's Products. Visit howesproducts.com.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the planet, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Thank you for being here. You know, download our Red Eye Radio app today. And if you can't listen live overnight to one of our great radio stations, you can listen where and wherever you wish to in 2023. I just threw that in. I mean, you could do it in 2024. You could have done it in 2022, but it just sounds like, you know, I'm paying attention that this is, you know, a new year and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going through the motions.
I'm not that excited about it. It's the same crap. You can change the numbers, but it's the same crap.
Same crap, different day. Different year.
Yeah. So we turn the page on another calendar. I don't care. I just don't care.
You guys really sound optimistic.
Nothing
here. Starting
changed.
Off this new year.
Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. What's your resolution? Nothing. Nothing.
I got to tell the story.
My resolution is to stop answering that question.
I've got to tell the story. This goes back years ago, but you know, I think Brian was in on this call.
Mm-hmm.
And and it's when goes back a boss a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the long vacation. Mm-hmm. And then we came back.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we used to have like a meeting, a conference call every week.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
Most of the time it was useless. Mm-hmm. But this goes back a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had told our, and we called him the caretaker of the show.
Yeah.
Really didn't view him as a boss, more of a caretaker, whatever the hell that means. That's how I viewed it.
Yeah.
And so it was like, we went, look, do we really need to have a, because it would mess up one of our sleep patterns.
He was like, He's like Lance Reddick in John Wick. He kind of took care of the place.
But we had all the ammunition
and the tokens.
And so I forgot which one of us said, you know, wrote, said, look, we've been gone. There's really no reason for a meeting. No, there needs to be a meeting. Mm. All right. There needs to be a conference call.
Mm.
So we get on the conference call. I'll never forget it. I don't remember the order, but it's like, you know, welcome. How is everybody? So, Eric, what's your New Year's resolution? I don't have any.
I don't have one.
Brian, what's your New Year's resolution? No, I don't have anyone. Gary, what's your New Year's resolution? We're adults. We really don't make resolutions. We live the right way. We try to live the right way every day.
Yeah.
And then the other person was, you know, what's yours? Same as the other guys.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't seem like really anybody's really cooperating with this, so I guess that's the end of the meeting this week.
Technically, my answer was, and I bit my tongue on it, my resolution that year was to not waste time in conference calls.
And the thing was, I mean, when it ended then, we just were like,
Yeah.
He wasn't with the company much longer.
No.
Remember, there's only a couple of weeks later. And he was
nice enough guy, but it was very nice, spinning wheels.
But it was, and I hate that more than anything. I will tell you this, that as a, when I was a radio station manager, and I, this goes back about 5 years ago, was I was at a memorial service for, actually a memorial luncheon for somebody who had died that I went to college with, really never worked with, but went to college with, but a lot of the people that I hired in the business had worked with him. So I went there and a couple of the people were there and, you know, I used to be their boss. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they said, you know, loved it when you were our boss. I go, really? I go, yeah. I go, why? They go, cause you hired good people and you let them do what they, you know, wish to do. And you never really had any meetings. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I had meetings. I don't remember one meeting. Well, when you'd stop by the office. Well, yeah, cause you just want to talk and see what was going on. That was my meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I hate meetings.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, now when I was a station manager, we'd have a sales meeting every day, but that was very quick. It was, hey, all right, what are we looking at today? Very quickly just lining out to all the salespeople what you were going to do, mm-hmm. you know, on that day and, you know, what certain promotions were. That I viewed as necessary, but they mm-hmm. were very quick too.
Mm-hmm.
But as for, you know.
Because they needed to be, because salespeople needed to be on the street.
On the street, right. We're going to sit here all day.
Yeah,
and talk about what you should be doing today. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you out on the street now? Because you're holding this stupid meeting, Gary.
Yeah,
but no, I've never been one. So many meetings. I will say 95% of the meetings that I've had in my life in any business were useless.
Yeah,
completely right. Useless.
More gets communicated by. While doing the work and by yes. doing the work.
Yeah, and a one-to-one basis.
And that's kind of the approach I've always had.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I think you see a lot of CEOs in business now looking at that saying, all right, we have to get back to working in the office. We can't. COVID's over. People have to come back to the office. And part of that is, you know, a manager, supervisor, or a colleague, whatever, coming by the office or you going by their office or their desk or whatever and saying, hey, what about this? The idea of shutting down and go, okay, let's schedule a meeting for 2:00 this afternoon. Now, if you're talking about people who aren't in the same building, then it's necessary to get everybody on a phone call. That does happen.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, you don't need to stop everything down when an email or just a walk down the hall could get an answer and get things moving. I hate wasting time. And, you know, the older I get, and it's my birthday today. Hold on.
Is it?
It is. Today's my birthday. And
happy birthday.
Thanks. Shut up. And
happy birthday to you.
Whatever.
But do you take that the same way that I do when people, when they sing happy birthday and they always sing it, it's not like, you know, it's not like a Marilyn Monroe happy birthday. It's like happy. It's almost as if they're mocking you.
Yeah.
I've always, the family will start, happy birthday to.
One of my daughters, she would cry when she was about four or five. She would cry when people would get around and sing, and it was exactly for that reason. We found out, later, she said, because it sounded like people were making fun of me. They were all looking at me and going through the motions. And so she kind of saw it as like a bullying, and she couldn't understand as a 4 or 5 year old why they would do that to her on her birthday. And, but the older, the older I get, obviously the less time, the clock is ticking. And which is why I'm just talking incessantly. But the whole idea of wasting time, especially when it comes to business, whether it's my business that I own or working for somebody, either way, I don't like wasting somebody else's time or mine. I need to, if I'm working for somebody else, then I need to be able to demonstrate that I'm efficient in that process. And if I'm working for myself, same thing. I need to be able to make sure that the wheels are actually turning on the ground and I'm making progress. And I just don't like, the wasting of the meetings, the time that is spent and everything else. There's so much that can get constant communication. Actually, you'll find if you're in constant communication, which with this job, you kind of have to be, it's around the clock. You find that you actually spend more time communicating than you would if you were to have a daily meeting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you had the 1 hour, even if it was an hour long daily meeting, you would still find that the way, if you're communicating on the fly constantly and consistently, that you're actually communicating more.
But I always viewed that as just the low light of conference call meetings. I always do that because that was the ultimate of you're just calling a meeting because you're the boss, the caretaker, whatever,
right?
And you just, it's what you do.
Yeah,
but there's no purpose for the meeting when you start out. What's your New Year's resolution?
No. Hope everybody's doing fine. Hope you had a great break. Here's the items and get to, because it first of all, it's respect for others' time, the time of other individuals. If you're not respecting that, then, there is something wrong. And a lot of times it's put into the process as protocol, especially in the information age. And I had one question one time for, someone in the IT department. And they said, well, when are you available for a Zoom call? And I said, I only need the answer to one question. I just need the answer to one question. And it's probably better that I get it in writing here on email. That way I can refer to it to make sure that I'm doing everything that is required. I can't imagine having to set, because during the day, we're actually supposed to be doing other things like, sleeping.
Sleeping.
And... but beyond that, also, I think they shouldn't have to take, 15, 20 minutes to answer one question. If I didn't understand a process and it was going to, and it required that 15 to 20 minutes, I have no problem with that. Wasting time is what I have a problem with.
Yeah, and that's the one thing, especially working this shift. Now, for the longest time, working with Westwood One, they do respect.
Yeah,
the fact that we work overnights.
Yeah,
I mean, it's we have, we have great management that we work under. In the past, though, it was amazing, especially when I first started here, the fact that there seemed to be people just assumed you were up 24/7.
Right.
Like, look, can everybody get together for a meeting at 3 p.m. in the afternoon? Mm. Well, everybody has different sleep shifts.
Right.
It's like you're well. and or, you know, can we do it at 9 or 11?
Right.
It's like, can you imagine somebody who's working first shift telling them, look, we need to have a meeting once a week at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Right. No,
and they don't view it that way.
No, they don't. I sit on the board for two nonprofits, and I have for years. That's the only exception I make because it's the board is populated by people who don't get paid to be there. There are some paid staffers there, but most people are not getting paid to be there, and they're taking their executives and owners of large companies, and they're taking their valuable time, and so I'll make that exception. If it's not with my sleep schedule, I'll sleep around it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if once you start doing that on a regular basis with your own office, you find that, okay, you're going to get trapped into that. You know, it's going to be, okay, well, we'll see you at 3 p.m. Not unless you're laying next to me, and that's not going to happen.
Remember first, though, it wasn't a conference call, remember? Because we have finally had to say, remember, we had a drive to meet during the day once a week.
Yeah.
And sometimes it would change. Well, we need to have it today at noon or 1. It can't be at 11. Mm-hmm. We finally said, the meetings stop.
Yeah.
We're not doing meetings. Yeah. Remember, I had a drive, like, because we weren't working here.
No.
I had a drive over 30 miles. Mm-hmm. And it was like, ah!
Yeah. Well, even just getting out of bed, I come up here during the day quite a bit during the week, but just, you know, having to essentially, you know, all right, I've got to put everything, I've got to pull everything together and then, you know, get in the car and make the, you know, 10-minute drive is still, you know, it's one of those, when you work nights, and everybody who works nights understands this, it's still a, you know, it is a bit of a task. And I've gotten to where I'm used to it. I realize, all right, I've got this window. Once the clock hits, you know, a certain point, that window is shut.
Yeah, it has to be.
And unless it's an emergency, you're not because I'm not going to be productive. I'm just not going to be much of a contribution.
I remember one of our first bosses when I came on the show said, look, you're going to be able to golf all day. And I said, no, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And recently had a conversation with him. I said, you know, I never – remember when you told me that? Yeah. Well, you know, I hardly ever golf during the day.
Yeah.
It just takes too much time.
You
don't have that kind of time to do it because it's almost like, you know, somebody else working a full-time job during the day and then saying, hey, look, can you be golfing at 2 in the morning?
it
doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. So. And, you know, I mean, last week – flipping my schedule, I didn't get any naps in during the break. Flipping my schedule, if I don't get those naps in, a couple of naps here and there, it's like by the end of my break, you know, vacation week, I'm like, no, I need to go back to the job because I can't, you know, it's like people staying up. I said this to my wife. It's like somebody staying up, and she knows this. But if you work days, it's like staying up all night for a week and a half.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's less for me because I sleep twice a day. Mm-hmm. It's easier for me to flip.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday, I mean, that was when my sister called me about, you know, Damar Hamlin.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't forgot I was sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And she woke me up in the middle of REM sleep. I was like, And that destroyed me for a little bit for the beginning of yesterday's show, and then I had a cup of coffee and I was fine. Then I slept this morning. I slept tonight. Great. So I'm back in the sleep shift again.
Mm-hmm.
But sleeping twice a day is my savior, is why I can flip on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have to get up.
Weekends are no problem. Once I get to 6 or 7 days of doing it, that's where the problem.
Yeah, that is a problem. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Hi, I'm Jen Loomis, a transport safety expert at J.J. Keller, and I'm here to share a tip on winter weather driving. Before you even head out onto slippery roads or snowy conditions, you need to make sure your vehicle is ready to go. Some equipment is especially important when driving in winter. Ensure that the heater and defroster are working properly and that all exhaust system connections are secure. A loose connection could cause carbon monoxide to leak into the vehicle. Check to see that the cooling system is full and there is enough antifreeze. It's recommended that you use an antifreeze that is rated for negative 25 degrees Fahrenheit. Confirm that all lights are working properly and that they're clear of snow, ice, and dirt. Check to make sure the wiper blades are in good condition and that you have enough washer fluid in the reservoir. It's also important to use washer fluid that is rated for cold temperatures. Finally, check that battery cables are firmly connected and are not corroded. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by Pilot Flying J and by Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Progressive Commercial Insurance protects truck owners with specialized coverages for heavy trucks. Get a quote in as little as 5 minutes at progressivecommercial.com.
Hey, it's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Just looking at the headline, Gallup poll saying that Americans are pessimistic about 2023, and that means economically speaking, that's what they're looking at. Now, you wonder, you know, we know how the acceleration of credit card use that we saw in the second half of last year, is that because a lot of people are looking at it and saying, uh-oh, that bill is coming due, and the fact that inflation is still going up. Things are still becoming more expensive each and every day. The rate may be slower, but it's still going up. There is no relief there. And then you look at this here, manufacturing contracts at its steepest pace since the COVID lockdown crash, the latest survey says. We'll have that for you coming up and more.
Individuals and businesses with tech.
The fourth branch of government. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
Oh, man. That's right. Legislative, judicial, executive, and Red Eye.
That's right. We are. We're the secret branch. I'm going to run for speaker.
I love this. Whoa, will somebody from the out? No, that's not.
That's happening. Not going to happen.
That's not happening.
That's not going to happen. The real discussion, that's not a real discussion. That's not going to happen. But if it were to happen, who would it be? It's honestly, you know, at least I can laugh at it. Now I'm with you. Look, this thing may be over by the end of the week. By the way, let's hope and pray it is over by the end of the week and they get it together. And we can move on. But McCarthy's going to be speaker. That's what's going to happen.
Well, you know something, because you look at this and you know, we had looked at the American Conservative Union ranking, which isn't that different between Scalise and McCarthy.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, it's pretty easy what you have to do, and on those, you know, five or six issues that we have talked about, and blunt the insanity of the Democrats. Look, you and I had said this earlier. Number one, well, I know it's your birthday, but I won't include you in this since you're 10 years younger than me. I am older than the majority of Congress.
Yeah.
I have been a conservative way longer than the majority of the Republicans in Congress. I also understand that as a political party, you know, that if I was in Congress, I would be a member of a political party.
Yeah.
And being more conservative, you know, you and I have actually in the past gone after the conservative caucus and said, you're not conservative enough. So you don't need nobody would need to throw the you're not a conservative label at me. I've been promoting conservative and libertarian values long enough, more than probably, what, 95% of the Republicans in Congress?
Yeah.
And so I believe that my credentials publicly are there. But I understand how the system works. And I look at this and I say, okay, what do we do here? What would be the goal? The goal would be on those four or five major issues that you know you can win. Because my goal would be to win as a party.
Yeah.
That's my goal, to win as a, because that's how you win. You don't win as an individual. You win as a political party. That's the reality. If you're not going to accept the reality of the system that you work in, then get out.
No, because if you think it's going to be about you, then you're wrong. Right. If you're running for president, then yeah, but it still is going to require that you bring the party together to get you there.
Right. Because I understand that if I'm in the minority, I don't really have power.
Right.
And so in order for me to have power, the party has to have power.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's plenty of time and room and places for the positioning if you think that it is necessary. And I'm with people who believe that they, in fact, this is the whole point, need to demonstrate that to their constituents. But demonstrating it for the sake of demonstrating it is one thing. I believe in demonstrating it through the work. And these are things that you have to understand in how this is going to work and where you are and understanding the room. If you know the room you're in and the makeup of the room you're in, then you can move forward. You don't have to like what Kevin McCarthy does as speaker. You don't have to like what other members of your party are doing. You can promote your values just fine, but the party is going to have to come together because, first of all, in the next 2 years, those committees are going to have to get some work done. They're going to have to stand united against this president and his agenda, and then leading up to 2024, have to demonstrate the strength of the party, and you can't do it like this.
And now, that being said, understanding the system that you work in is the fact that there is no other alternative to McCarthy as of today.
Right.
There may be tomorrow. There isn't today.
Right.
Scalise is public. I don't want it. Jordan is public. I don't want it. McCarthy is my guy.
Right.
Then why the hell are you messing around with this? If there is no alternative, and people can look at it and, you know, I heard, you know, Gates saying, he's part of the swamp. He's part of the swamp. He's part of the swamp. And I went, you know, that doesn't relate anymore.
Well, no.
But I thought about it. The swamp doesn't really relate anymore. And you really can't use that. You can't use that at Kevin McCarthy at the moment. You might be able to use it if he was speaker for 2 years. But if you look at their ranking from the American Conservative Union, there's not much difference between Scalise and McCarthy, and Scalise is public. He doesn't want it.
Right.
And so what exactly are you fighting for? Matt Gaetz, you're not going to be Speaker of the House.
No. No.
Lauren Boebert, you're not going to be Speaker of the House.
Nope.
So what's the point in doing it? And it's like, well, you know, the rating of McCarthy, you know, and remember, they they haven't had the House. We talk about you know, how long the Republicans have been in, you know, in power in the House. Remember, they didn't have the House for years when Gingrich took over. Do you know that Gingrich's popularity within his own party was lower than McCarthy's is right now?
Wow.
And when you look back at Gingrich, Gingrich is looked at as one of the best, you know, before he went all climate change and, and anti-business after he was Speaker and were targeting him for sitting on the bench with Nancy Pelosi for climate change and going after Mitt Romney, you know, for the business that he was in when he, you know, after he became speaker would have his little moments of liberalism in there. But he is viewed as one of the, he is viewed as one of the most successful, you know, for that time that he was in the 90s speaker. So favorability doesn't mean anything. It's what you do. It's what you do in the situation that you're in now, which is totally and completely unique. And I understand conservatives saying we need to make sure that we hit on all these issues. Well, you could have those discussions on a consistent basis. You could have those meetings and say, look, what are the major issues out there? Okay. Inflation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which would include government spending, Fed policy, mm-hmm. you know, when you look at all of that,
mm-hmm.
The economy,
mm-hmm. the border,
the border, the cultural issues mm-hmm. that exist today. And it's really critical race theory and the liberal transgender activist movement that we can use to show the insanity of the left and why all these issues, the vast majority of people agree with us on these issues. And the other thing is you need to say no.
Right.
You need to say no. And what do you really need to say no to? You need to say no to the insane spending that the Democrats wish to do. But that's really not a huge issue for the next year because that was already taken care of.
Right. Right. Look, it's again, you've got to know the room. And you mentioned Gingrich. And one of the things that Gingrich did was step down when he knew it was his time to step down. And at this point, going into 23, there are plenty of things that can be worked out in the hallway. Plenty of things. And you don't have to give up. You don't have to sacrifice anything of what you are or who you are for your constituents or anything else. All this can be accomplished. And again, no problem with sending. You know, my thought at the beginning of the day when the first vote didn't go through was, okay, they'll go through this a couple of times, right? And then on the third vote, you send a message. I don't have a problem sending a message per se to a Kevin McCarthy to say, hey, this is what we expect. But I think if you back up and look at the discussions within the party, going back before the midterm, those messages were clearly being sent. Now, whether he was receptive to those messages or not, I can't tell you. But those messages were already sent. This wasn't something that happened, that came out, that was revealed about McCarthy in December. And then all of a sudden, people are responding to that. This has been the case since before the midterm elections. Then when the margin wasn't as big as they thought it was going to be, the red wave was a red drip. Well, now you've got even more reason to, all right, let's get it together as a party. You can send the message to McCarthy or anybody else that you believe needs to hear that message and also get the work done.
You know, if, you know, because Gates yesterday, he's part of the swamp. Well, if he had voted for the $1.7 trillion omnibus bill, you might be able to make that case.
Mm-hmm.
But when Gates said it, I went, on what? You know, and again, I'm not the biggest McCarthy fan either. I would probably, you know, for me, as you and I said, our perfect choice for this speaker isn't in the House.
He's over in the Senate.
Rand Paul, just say no to everything.
Exactly.
No. So, but understanding the fact that this isn't rocket science right now as to what the Republicans need to do. There's those five or six issues that the vast majority of the public, landslide numbers, agree with the Republicans. You promote that and you do whatever you can to stop the spending. And you lead. Look, one of the reasons that I don't like McCarthy, but I don't know who has the ability to do that. And it is the fact of the imagery that you need, the imagery and the selling ability of your agenda.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I don't, because that's how I view the Speaker of the House. To me, it's actually more symbolic.
No,
you have the substance of where the party is going,
right.
But who can convince He just doesn't. He doesn't impress me. But nobody does in the House right now.
Yeah.
Nobody impresses me as to, okay, your job is to convince. Republicans are behind you. Your job is to convince independents and Democrats that are very wary of where the Democratic Party is going in a smooth, in a very smooth but authoritative style that, hey, this is what we're about. This is what we're about. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for someone who can still be strong, but I'm looking for, I'll give you an example. I'm looking for more of a Ron DeSantis than a Chip Roy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't agree with Roy at times.
Right.
I disagree with him on voting for Jordan. That was stupid. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make any sense. Jordan doesn't want it.
It'd be different if Jordan were campaigning for
it. Exactly. But that's what you want. Who can convince independents and Democrats that are very wary of where their party is going, because that person that's in there, you know, is going to be the one who will be communicating what they do. To me, McCarthy's not a great communicator. I don't know who is. I don't know of a great communicator on the Republican side that could rise to the level of a DeSantis in the success that he has had in Florida through substance and imagery and how he explains things. And that's what you need.
Well, someone that has the ability to project leadership.
Yes.
And convince people who aren't necessarily in your corner yet.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. All right, manufacturing numbers are out and not good. We will get to that. And more than 1.2 million fugitive illegal immigrants remain living across the United States despite having final deportation orders. This is what sanctuary cities, it's what the Democrats want.
Yeah.
And they're blunt about it. If we have to play what Biden said again.
Yep.
Nope. And that's the problem. Everybody knows the Democrats want illegal immigration.
This is all by design.
Right. Yep.
And there's not going to be any change in this administration or their policies regarding the border.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. Did I say that already? Did I repeat that?
Probably,
can't remember.
I heard it somewhere.
I have an audio cut getting ready to play here. Uh-huh. Download our Red Eye Radio app today. It's the thing to do in 2023.
It is. Right. That rhymed last year. It doesn't rhyme this year, but it is the thing to do in 2023.
Yeah. Let's just play a few moments of Governor DeSantis yesterday when he gave his inaugural address, second term as governor in the state of Florida.
It lives in the courage of those who patrol the streets and who keep our communities safe. It lives in the industry of those who work long hours to earn a living and raise their families. It lives in the dedication of those who teach our children. lives in the determination of those who grow our food. It lives in the wisdom of our senior citizens. It lives in the dreams of the historic number of families who have moved from states across this country because they saw Florida as the land of liberty and the land of sanity. Over the past few years, as so many states in our country grinded their citizens down, we in Florida lifted our people up. When other states consigned their people's freedom to the dustbin, Florida stood strongly as freedom's linchpin. When the world lost its mind, when common sense suddenly became an uncommon virtue, Florida was a refuge of sanity, a citadel of freedom for our fellow Americans and even for people around the world. In captaining the ship of state, we choose to navigate the boisterous sea of liberty rather than cower in the calm docks of despotism. We face attacks. We take hits, but we weather the storms. We stand our ground, and we do what's right. As the book of Psalms reminds us, I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. We have refused to use polls and to put our finger in the wind. Leaders do not follow, they lead. We have articulated a vision for a free and prosperous state. We have, through persistence and hard work, executed on that vision. We have produced favorable results. And now we are here today because the people of Florida have validated our efforts in record fashion.
There you go. Other things he said, freedom lives here in the great sunshine state of Florida. And then he said, you know, why it exists when he's saying it. That's what he was talking about was freedom. It's interesting because I'm like, okay, there he is projecting a vision. And then he uses the word vision. He says that basically that's what we're doing. This is our vision. And we delivered on our, you know, vision. Couple of things here. You know, as we talk about the House and, you know, we've talked about DeSantis messaging. DeSantis figured out what the messaging should be from the Republican Party based on all the issues. Mm-hmm. He uses the words that common people use, the insanity of what's going on in the left right now. And we're sane here. We use common sense here. That's huge. You don't hear that you don't hear the presentation that DeSantis does anywhere, for example, in the House of Representatives.
No, you don't.
You know, you're not going to hear. I would like to hope that if McCarthy does become speaker, you would hear it, or whoever becomes speaker, unless it's Hakeem Jeffries, where, you know, there will be no common sense. That's not going to happen, though. But that's one of the problems. You look at who's a communicator. And we had said this for the longest time. Trump's initial success came because he communicated effectively to the American people at that particular time. Trump's problems is he did not later on communicate effectively with the American people.
Even with a long line of successes, he wasn't able to communicate those successes.
And we have stated this, and we've been criticized for it. Mm-hmm. But I have no problem taking the shots. People say, no, communication isn't the way. No, don't communicate an idea. That's how you succeed in politics.
Well, I mean, the idiocy it's not about communicating with those that are already on your side. It never is.
No.
You have to communicate with those who are not on your side, and that's the tougher part.
And you have now, as we have seen, there are a group of Democrats that are rejecting. They look at it and they go, I just need to find somebody who is, you know, who is sane, who's been able to do that, who was able to convert Democrats, not just independents, but convert Democrats to vote Republican. Ron DeSantis. That's the reality of it, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's doing it now. Trump started it. Trump was able to successfully get Hispanics and blacks to vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he lost a bunch of other independents. Mm-hmm. That's one of the problems, and that's one of the problems of the Republican Party right now. DeSantis has been able to, in a way, separate himself from the Republican Party. You're right. Voting for Ron DeSantis. He's a part of the Republican Party, but you're voting for me because this is my vision, because it's your vision. Mm-hmm. In a way, he has become his own third party. Even though he is a Republican, he has separated himself from the actual party. You don't view DeSantis as DeSantis is a part of the Republican Party. He is. That's not how you view him.
Well, you think of his name first and not the party first.
I think that's a great way to put it. That's better than what I said.
His identity is with himself, and that comes from the work that has already been done. It was done with the vision at first and that promise, and then delivering on that. And this is how you get to repeated terms, whether it's as governor or president. You're going to have to say, all right, this is what we set out to do, and we accomplished it. We still have this work to be done. And what you're doing is you're reaching out to those who are still on the fence. What you heard from Ron DeSantis, it wasn't a victory speech, and it shouldn't be. The governor's inauguration should be about, I understand what the job is. I understand why you're keeping me as your governor. We understand what this is all about, and we promise to do exactly what you sent us here to do. That's what you heard. That was not about Ron DeSantis. That was about the fight. It was about the job. It was about exactly why he won. And that message was sent by the people of his state in a massive, unprecedented way. That's leadership.
And the optics were great. You look at the optics there. It's not as big, for example, as a presidential inauguration speech, but it looked like one.
Right. Right.
And you see the stands that are set up behind and the number of people that are there. And that's the other thing that matters. Mm-hmm. It matters that you and I have always stated this when it comes to presidential candidates. And we've been doing this for the longest time. And I remember, was it Gary Johnson one time that like announced on a street, on a stage with like 10 people?
Smattering of applause.
Yeah. And it was like, no. And we've always stated, what you do is, number one, and unless you get to, for example, DeSantis, he can do it outdoors, and it's he can draw that kind of an audience. DeSantis has the ability to do that. Mm. But many of these candidates don't, when they decide to run, don't. And we've always stated, no, you go into, you find a nice auditorium, a theater kind of auditorium that fits 1,000 people, and you bring 1,000 people in. You have balloons. You've got everything. People going crazy when you do it. Everything needs to look big, because what you're saying is people passionately support me. And we're always amazed at the number of candidates who run for president that don't understand it has to look big.
That's the entire part of it, is that you have to have that momentum going at all times. And that's what the aesthetics do. You're going to have to create that momentum at some point. It has to be real momentum built on real energy, real support of your agenda and your campaign. But it doesn't end with the election. These are the things that you don't have to tell a Donald Trump. You didn't have to tell him this in 2016. But in 2020, the Wall Street Journal had to point it out. Where's the speech on your list of successes?
Yep.
Not for the people who already voted for you and will be voting for you in 2020. For the people that are not on board. That's what you're looking to do. And you have to do that at every turn. And now the Republican Party in the House. The way the day should have ended was Kevin McCarthy at the podium with Republicans all of them, or at least a large group of them, behind him. This is what we plan to do. Over the next 2 years, we are going to make sure that the work of the American people is done and that the agenda of this administration is not. We're going to make sure that we can correct as many things within our power. We can shed light on things where the truth needs to reach the American people. All of these items are on our table, and we are working for the American people.
And you
couldn't get a vote together.
And the embarrassing thing is, and not on you, but to the Republican Party is, you know, you did that. You just did that ad lib off the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy.
Yeah.
That's the most frustrating thing for us, you know, observing as we have Republicans, that it's so easy. It would be so easy to defeat the Democrats on the issues, because that's what really matters.
Right.
And Republicans continually fail day in and day out just communicating simple, obvious messages. They just, for some reason, whether it's ego, whether it's tribal, mm-hmm. you know, tribal protecting mm-hmm. my own yeah. territory here.
Right.
There just doesn't seem to be in Congress the ability to say, we're a team. You get elected individually, but you're part of this party. And we know that there are differences on the fringes of what you would like to do.
That's fine.
But we agree, and we can have those debates, and you can publicly say what you want, but on the 4 or 5 core issues. And it gets frustrating because you see the Democrats who cannot win on the issues, but will lie and stick together on that lie. And it gets frustrating when you sit and you watch that every single day and you're like, what the hell is wrong with Republicans?
Right. Right.
Why can't they do the simple things? Communicate effectively. And I say simple because, you know, you and I will sit there and say, okay, here's how they should message it. And I'll look at you and when you do it, and I'll just say, wow, you did that ad lib. And how many times have we done that? This isn't rocket science. It's not hard.
It isn't. And it's the entire purpose of being there.
Yes, exactly.
Forget about putting it together in terms of messaging in an effort to win. The GOP can't put it together after they've already won.
Won. Yep. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. And when we talk about DeSantis, it's got nothing to do about whether he runs for president or not. It's who is being effective right now.
Yeah,
who is a Republican in their state, whatever their geographical area is, that is having great success, undeniable great success. Who is converting independents and even Democrats?
Yeah.
To sit there and say, we reject the Democratic Party. We reject the insanity of the Democratic Party. We want a better economy. We want more freedom. Oh, by the way, 2023 will be the year of mind-boggling attacks on DeSantis. I got to find it. All right. Just popped into my head. I saw it over vacation where it was, you know, somebody in the media said DeSantis is worse than Trump.
Like, no, you knew that was coming. This is that'll be the next move. Like Bill Maher said about Trump, we said all the other guys were Hitler, but this guy really is Hitler. And now they'll move on and say, oh well, no, DeSantis is Hitler. Trump wasn't Hitler. This guy is Hitler. That's how they're going to have to behave, and because the next devil is going to have to be worse than the last devil that they created. But the fact of the matter is that you are going to see that. You're going to start seeing that. Actually, you'll start seeing it more and more in the spring in anticipation of the announcement season, which typically would be, you know, late spring, summertime, if DeSantis is going to announce. But the liberal media will have to get everything in order with their activism to make sure that they work ahead of that in positioning Ron DeSantis as the devil. I can see it right now. ABC Nightly News opens with, "The devil once went to down to Georgia, but now he's moved to Florida and he's the governor." And did you really just quote Charlie Daniels on ABC News? Yes. And, you know, that's going to be the attempt. And I think the biggest reason is because they fear DeSantis. I don't think they fear Trump the way they used to fear Trump. I think they feared Trump because he's an outsider. Still, you could say that, you know, for the most part, he's an outsider, even with 4 years as a president. And that was their fear, was that he was going to shed light on a lot of things. And that did happen to a large extent. But with DeSantis, there's going to be, this is a guy who is on a mission and he's focused. And it, I think that scares a lot of the activists on the left.
And I guess my point, because we haven't got, as I said, we didn't get to the point yet where DeSantis has even announced.
Right.
And playing it just is, who are the Republicans? This is more at the House and the Senate, and the Republicans there about effectively communicating to win. And looking at, you know, whether it would be Kevin McCarthy, whether it be, you know, whether it be Scalise, whoever it would be, Jim Jordan. It's about effectively communicating to the masses all the issues out there. You know, people talk about Jim Jordan, for example. No, I'd rather have Jim Jordan do the investigations. I don't see Jim Jordan.
Right. He's the bulldog you need on committees.
Right. And if you looked at a Chip Roy, something like that, you'd want in particular things. What you need is a Speaker of the House, to me, is somebody who would be able to effectively communicate on a wide variety of issues, the overall umbrella of what we stand for. So you need to be, I think, a much better communicator than if you're a Jim, you know, a Jim Jordan. I'm not saying Jim Jordan doesn't communicate effectively because, you know, he wins re-election. But the fact is, where he has found his niche is in investigations into wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm.
That's where his niche is. That's what he's good at. That's what you want him to do for your party at this point. But for the Republicans in the Senate and the House, sorry, Mitch McConnell, nobody listens to anymore.
Yeah, right.
You need communicators.
Right.
And they lack them right now.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen to
QShow.com.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So when I looked at DeSantis, first off, because there are people that view identity as the most important thing, and I mean political identity.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not talking about the identity politics of the Democrats, but the fact is, you know, if I've mentioned, well, you like DeSantis now, and not about who I like. It's who is effectively communicating
right
now. And so this isn't about the presidential election. This is more related to what's going on in Congress right now and the leadership in Congress of the Republican Party. The Republican Party, and you don't have to talk like DeSantis. You don't have to be like DeSantis, but you have to be able to effectively communicate, because the opportunity, we've had the opportunity for a while and the Republicans have blown it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, they've blown it.
Yeah.
And we still have the opportunity today, because the Democrats are not going to change. They're going to become more radical. They believe their own delusions, that because they believe that they're not losing as bad as they should, and they won in certain aspects, that this means the public is behind them on the issues, when there isn't any indication that the public at all agrees with the Democrats on the issues.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
on the issues, the economic issues, the border issues.
Right. But they still get it done. They still win elections.
Yep.
And that is absolutely ludicrous. And it comes down to one thing. The GOP, I don't know how you teach this old dog any new tricks. Except for examples. And that's why it's important to point out Ron DeSantis. There are others in the party that are capable of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to do it.
And for the frustrating part for us, and the reason we've harped on this so long, is because when you see the easy win and you can't do it.
Right.
Just like any team.
Mm-hmm.
When you see a team that has the talent, but the coaches cannot effectively communicate.
Right.
When you see a business that has the talent, but management can't effectively communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had talked about that earlier about useless meetings that we've had. It's like, why are you doing this? You're just you're hurting production. You're hurting morale. And when we were talking about why we always hated so many of the meetings, you know, when in business industry, this business that we've been in for such a long time, but others also, how many meetings are useless? Mm. You know, don't waste my time. Communicate effectively, because that's what it's all about. You communicate ideas. The founding fathers communicated effectively an idea in the Declaration of Independence, which then became the Constitution of the United States. Somebody's going to call me and say, the Declaration of Independence didn't become the Constitution of the United States. They're separate documents. You understand what I mean?
Well,
the idea, the idea then transformed to the Constitution of the United States, but the Declaration of Independence is communicating an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Politics every day should be effectively communicating, not to the converted, but to those who are looking and saying, should I give that side a chance? What DeSantis proved is that independents and even Democrats are Democrats now. The Democrat voter leakage, as we called it. DeSantis proves in a state that many thought would go Democrat in the next couple of years, overwhelmingly voted Republican through his communication skills, I believe.
Yeah.
So you know that it can be done, do it. And because we don't view it, we don't view the communication, maybe because we do this for a living, we don't view it as hard, and others view it as hard, but it's so simple. It's four or five ideas, and it's about common sense. Just use the right words, as he did. This is insanity what the Democrats are doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no common sense. It's a lie. It's false. And get away from the foolishness that exists and the pettiness. Win the important battles that win you the political war.
You have a broken border that is being overrun, inflation that is crippling families, and crime skyrocketing out of control to the point retailers don't know what to do. Everything is laid out for you. It is apparent. And the fact that you don't see it, the only communication people hear then is, I guess they don't get it either. I voted for him, or I would consider voting for him, except I don't know why. If they don't see what I'm going through, if they don't see my concerns, where's the conviction? The conviction for getting a victory for yourself isn't real conviction. That's self-serving. If you're there to be a public servant, it requires great conviction after the win. And I don't hear it. It's why we can't tell you who would make a great speaker in the House right now. I can't tell you. I like Jim Jordan. I like Steve Scalise. but it has to be a big, broad message that is on point every time and is filled and fueled by conviction.
Here it is, Gallup poll, 79% of Americans predict 2023 will deliver economic difficulty. Well, of course it will. Inflation's getting worse each and every day.
Right.
It's not getting, the rate of growth of inflation may have slowed down.
Yeah.
But inflation still keeps going up. Prices of goods and services keep going up. And now I just saw gasoline has gone up 40 cents.
I was telling you I was driving, doing a lot of driving the town where my parents and in-laws live. Over the break, and I did quite a few trips back and forth. I filled up 2 days in a row at the same place, and it jumped, and I couldn't believe it. It jumped in less than 24 hours. Basically, it was overnight. It jumped 21 cents a gallon.
Yep.
And I was like, wow.
Before I went on vacation, it was down to 249. Now it's 289.
Yeah.
I mean, still not $4, $4.50.
No, but that jump is noticeable.
Yeah, it's, that's something. Well, I noticed
especially
it.
Especially when we're not it's not driving season any longer.
Yeah, and the prediction, and it's been there for a while, that as we get closer to spring, you're going to see gasoline prices going up, you know, more and more and more. And again, inflation is still going up. Mm-hmm. When if the president says inflation's going down, no, the rate of growth is going down, but the growth is actually increasing. Prices overall are going up each and every day.
I don't know what in the world is going on with eggs. I went to the grocery store yesterday morning, and I was screaming about a month ago, paying $5 for the eggs that I buy. It was $7.60-something.
Wow.
I have no idea. I have no idea. But I was paying attention to, you know, a lot of it was, I didn't have a long list. I'm still $85. I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is happening everywhere. And what happens is that families have to make decisions, right? They're gonna have to cut corners everywhere that they can. Then they start doing what? Exactly what we saw in the last quarter, putting more on a credit card. Well, then the credit card comes due. Well, you're putting that on a credit card because you didn't have the money then. Well, you don't have the money to make the payment now on the credit card. And that vicious cycle continues. And retailers, they're feeling not only the pinch of what people do in the first quarter of, and, you know, that hasn't really started, in the first quarter of any year, but especially in January, February, where we pull back after Christmas spending, and now they're screaming because the crime is so bad, having to put things behind glass that would never have been thought of, you know, in terms of the security on it just a few years ago. But that's where they are, because they're bleeding cash. It's actually not bleeding. It's walking out the door. Because a few years ago, we thought defunding the police was a good idea. Because in blue cities, we thought it's got to be a great idea after defunding the police to elect DAs who won't prosecute theft at retail level. And we wonder why the grocery store, big box store, or the retailer, the pharmacy retailer, is considering closing in our neighborhood. That's going to happen. If something doesn't change, that is going to happen. You're going to see more and more neighborhoods where, well, it's closed, it's gone. Those are jobs inside that building.
You know, you're talking about the crime in the cities, you're talking about the homelessness in the cities that's going on right now.
Yeah.
Kevin Dahlgren, I've been following for a while, who's a homeless activist out of Seattle and the Great Northwest, is part of a group called WeHeartSeattle.org, ending homelessness by empowering, not enabling. And I told you this yesterday. I can't play the audio cut because of the cursing words in it, but was talking to one homeless woman in Portland, Oregon, and she said, this is a piece, talked about why they're homeless, why they live in tents. This is a piece of cake. You get three meals a day and you don't have to do the S word. I wake up, eat, get high, go to sleep, wake up, eat, get high, repeat. And then he writes, a homeless woman shared with me why it's so easy to be homeless. She was brutally honest because she hates the enablement, but says they are loving us to death. End of quote.
Yeah.
Saying that the homeless problem exists because it's what Democrats want.
Mm-hmm.
They want to enable bad behavior.
Right.
And the people that are homeless, that are the drug addicts, know it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're making it. Well, I'm a drug addict.
You're not helping them.
So living in a tent and being able to eat each and every day is fine with me,
right,
because nobody arrests me. I can be a drug addict. You're providing me the drugs, the needles.
Right.
Oh, excuse me. Maybe not providing the drugs, but not enforcing the law,
mm-hmm,
you know, the drugs are easily available.
Mm-hmm.
They're legal.
Mm-hmm.
They're legal. They're available.
Yep.
You give us everything we need to wear, everything we need to eat. We got a tent to sleep in. We're
right.
Fine. We like this life.
Mm-hmm. And you
even though
keep it going.
Even though she herself was bothered by the enabling,
mm-hmm,
but this is the philosophy of the Democrats.
She doesn't see a way out because this is going to be her life.
Yeah.
And you're certainly not changing anything by enabling.
Nope.
You're making it worse.
And that's part of the insanity of the Democrats today.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows it.
Right.
Republicans communicate that effectively.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard?
All you have to do is point.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Looking at this, we'll get into some of the details, but the manufacturing sector, Eric, in the United States contracted at its fastest pace since the lockdowns of 2020. Data from a survey of purchasing managers showed yesterday the S&P Global Purchasing Managers Index for the manufacturing sector fell to 46.2 in December from the already deeply depressed 47.7 November reading. That is the lowest score of the index since May of 2020.
That would be the heart of COVID.
When everything was locked down completely.
Yep.
That's what we're seeing right now, which is when you talk about the possible recession this year. We had the recession last year, then the temporary reprieve from the recession. And now you've got manufacturing contracting at its steepest pace since the COVID lockdown, crash,
right,
of May of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow.
Yeah.
So the public is probably on the right track with almost 80% predicting 2023 will deliver economic difficulty.
No, I think that's been the expectation now for a while for a lot of economists, but I think the public gets it too, because they see it. And tell me what would change. What is promising in the economy for this year?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Hey, that's part one of our show. Don't miss the rest. Click part two on our website, redeyeradioshow.com, or Red Eye Radio phone app to hear the rest of the show. And thanks for listening to Red Eye Radio.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot.
But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord! We get it! They have chemistry!
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.